want to live or whether it's literally an online community. And I've been involved in all sorts of communities, and my work at the moment, if you like, is a lot of talking to local groups around the country. I had the pleasure of working with Jonathan at Ipswich and all sorts of places. And the wonderful thing from my point of view is that 5 years ago, if we were holding this meeting, A, we probably wouldn't have this level of interest in a tweet-up, but there'd probably be three people hearing a wonky dog. And you know, what's so encouraging is that we have more and more people who are no longer feeling any sense of shame or embarrassment about being excited about environmental issues and working together to achieve great things. And we're all feeling a much greater sense of empowerment. I think a lot of that comes from confidence about being able to speak, you know, whether it's on the computer or it's on your mobile phone, that we're getting a much greater sense of being joined together. One of the other things I'd like to say is that apart from a sense of place in community, is that one of the other really, really key things that we have to do is to break down our barriers. And all of us are loaded with perceptions about all sorts of stuff. You know, we can be eco-fascists and not terribly nice but still love the planet. Or we can be a bit lackadaisical and be a really, really lovely person, give lots of people energy, but be very bad at recycling. So, you know, it's about the context, it's about the totality of what we bring together when we come together to work in a sustainable community. It also means that we have to learn a lot of patience with each other. We have to learn to put our egos to one side, because actually the planet's bigger than our egos, it really is. And, you know, it's only literally when we start breaking down our barriers and fears that we can really then start to work together to create sustainable communities. And one thing I'd say here today is, lovely, lovely group of people, but we all do have skin of the same colour. Don't you notice that? And yes?
My soul can come down later and change that for you.
Wicked. Thank God. If not, I'd have to go out and get people to say, come here. But just not really talking about the rest of the country. And I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about how I've been working with the Muslim community, which has been really, really exciting.
Yeah.
And so I go and get asked to do all sorts of talks to all sorts of different groups. And one day, this group of Muslim ladies in Leicestershire, about 140 of them, said, can you come and give us a talk on household tips? Yeah, no problem, but with a Quranic perspective. Like a challenge. Yeah. So, kind of got stuck in. Luckily, because I write, I don't know what really, but I had actually read the Quran a few years ago, and in translation, hasten to add. And I've been having chats with Muslim friends, both, you know, sort of physically and online, and learning, you know, because I'm a standard Christian background, I don't go to church or anything, but that's my upbringing. And I had lots of Muslim friends, made a lot of assumptions, but there were certain key things that I really, really didn't get. And one of the things that came out of that, we were talking about water. Now, obviously, we're all very concerned about peak oil and climate change and all that. I'm actually far more worried about the issue of water, because you can't drink a pint of oil, right? So, you know, we were talking about the whole issue of water. And as we were talking about the Quran, what came out was that, well, the Quran was born of the desert. So water was a really, really important part of Islam. So that doesn't really come across when you're hearing about fundamentalists and all this sort of stuff. We're really concerned about water and our whole religion's based on water. So we started to unpick that whole idea. And as I was sort of doing this research, it came across that all my perceptions about the Quran and about how Muslims think and feel about the world, because I think about, you know, sort of maybe fundamentalists, but not, you know, fundamentally really strong when it came to recycling. And it was literally about this massive learning curve that I then set route on. The other thing that I've learned, and I'm sure you feel the same, because a lot of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that at some point in our lives, somebody dropped a pebble in the pond of our consciousness, and all of a sudden we started to think about wider, greener issues. And again, with communities, when you're setting up communities, so much of that is about you dropping pebbles in the pond and talking to people and interconnecting and having a chat, really. I've got quite allergic to the idea of consultation. You know, we all get consulted, and I get asked to get involved in consultation. And I would much rather have a conversation. I think they're far more useful when you can sit and have a chat. Because the trouble is, when we're consulted with, it's not actually a very two-way process. you're having research and information drawn from you, which then is claimed as a body of information by somebody else. And that in itself, I feel, is quite a disempowering thing to happen to sustainable communities. So it's more about conversations and more about getting to know each other. So segueing back to the Quran, what I then learned through doing all this fantastic, interesting stuff was there was lovely things like the bee. Now, we're all very concerned about the bee, and quite rightly too. But literally thousands of years ago, when the Quran was written, there was this great thing where Allah said, you can also call me the bee. And I was like, what? So we have the bee, because what you must remember as all human beings is it's the tiny, tiny, tiny stuff that we forget that actually is the most important stuff. So the tiny, tiny stuff from the point of view of sustainable communities is the thing like giving people other time to speak, to listen, and for those reactions to be garnered together and for people to work forward. So it's all about consensus. Now, sometimes achieving consensus can be a somewhat painful process because, again, where egos are involved, it can be such a tremendous barrier. Now, I'm sure throughout your lives, you've been either on committees or in projects where everybody is so tied up with what they want to achieve that all of a sudden it becomes a set of personal agendas. Now, you can have a personal agenda at home, that's absolutely fine. But when it comes to sustainable communities, we have to try and let go of those personal agendas and work from the bigger picture. And I think that's almost, for me, where the global to local thing comes. But we must always have an eye on the bigger picture because, you know, that's why we're trying to do all this stuff together and creating sustainable communities, is because we need to work towards a sustainable world vision. Now, I've got an eco home in Nottingham. It's just a house on its own, but it's had quite a lot of influence. It was the first in the country, and we were the pioneers that tackled it. Nobody was doing it at the time. We made it all up as we went along. Some of what we got right, some of what we got wrong. Composting toilets were wrong because we had an exploding poo incident. Hey, it's all about the learning curve. Don't biodegrade, it's fine, you know. And, you know, but what... Yeah, flash in the pan. Thank you for that. Yeah. Any more would you like to... Penny, for your thoughts. You know, we can go on as long as you like with that one. But thanks for your contribution. You know, it's literally so just in this one house, we've sort of created and been involved in a whole community growing of lots and lots of other retrofits happening throughout the country. So that literally was our pebble in the pond. Now, with the working with the Muslim ladies, how that strange pebble in the pond, because obviously somebody threw me a pebble, is next year I'm going to Libya, yes, to Gaddafi land.
Yes.
Yes. Because Gaddafi wants Libya to be the first green Islamic state. Now, it's no coincidence, actually, that the colour of the Quran is green. And there's a lot of movement for Islam to be seen as the green religion, because there are so many messages in there. And I'm not going to babble on much longer today, so it's quite a big picture I'm trying to sort of talk about here in a very short space of time. But it's basically saying that until all of us let go of our fears and perceptions about working with other communities and cultures we're not used to, we're not going to get terribly far. We'll just become a series of quite localised ghettos of people doing their thing and not actually being terribly welcoming and inclusive. So the thing that I've learned, and I've been sort of working in the environment for about 30 years now, you know, sort of professionally the last 15 years, but before that, very, very involved. And I'd just like to share with you, and also something I'd like you all to think about, is what your turning point was in your lives that kind of made you feel, I am part of a bigger thing. You know, what was that salient moment where you suddenly thought, my God, I live on a really big, beautiful planet spinning in space. Where is my sense of space? Where am I going? What's my route? But I know I just want to love the planet. My connection was at eight years old. I used to bomb off all over the place in a little blue bicycle with no gears or anything like that. And living in Suffolk, it wasn't hard to find bluebell woods. And for me, I walked into this bluebell wood and I suddenly thought, oh, this is my cathedral. This is my church. This is home. And I just lay down in the bluebells and looked up at the sky, surrounded by the scent, and I just felt I was home. So that was my very, very personal connection. And I've always felt she was Mother Earth. So it's that sense of when we want to feel nurtured, where do we go? And when we want to nurture, what do we do? And we need to take that remembrance when we're thinking about how we bring together sustainable communities. Never forget to nurture. Thank you.